What's up, everyone? Matt and Leslie back at Table 40. As we head into February, we're going to start a new series. And we are going to start a series about marriage, as Valentine's Day, as we all know, falls in February. So we've decided to kick off our marriage series with just Leslie and I, and to talk a little bit about marriage and the good, the bad, and the ugly of our 20 years, over 20 years, thank you. But we are excited about some of the people that we'll have on the next three or four podcasts to talk marriage and wisdom that they've learned. And probably have probably a little better stuff than us, but we'll give it a go tonight, and hopefully we will help you a little bit and in our marriage. But Leslie, why don't you come on in here and help me with marriage?
Okay, wait, I was thinking as you were talking, one of my favorite, this dates how long we've been married. So we were in Tucson, Arizona, and so back in the day when you were playing, February 14th or Valentine's Day always landed on the day, or either the day we went to spring training or like the first couple days when we were moving into our spring training house. So this is going to show how low maintenance I am. But one of my favorite Valentine's Day gifts you've ever given me was my Big Fat Greek Wedding DVD.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good gift.
That's so romantic.
Well, you liked it.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I'm not saying that so romantic, like sarcastically, by any stretch of the imagination.
Like, feels like it.
No, I didn't. I didn't mean it like that. Like, I just vividly remember that. I went to Tucson.
Money was a little tight back then.
I know. I went to Tucson. We got groceries. I came home and you had flowers for me in my Big Fat Greek Wedding DVD. And I was so excited.
Have you watched that recently? I feel like that's... If you liked it that much then that I bought it for you for Valentine's Day, that at some point you really liked it.
I did like it. I thought it was really funny. Yeah. And I loved that he cleaned everything with Windex. I'm kind of on that.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. But I remember vividly.
Okay, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. But don't you remember how every Valentine's Day was
it ties right in
spring
with
training.
Spring training.
The traveling. Beginning of spring training.
Yeah. Yeah. Needing to be there.
Yep. We've spent a lot of Valentine's Days together. So this will be a fun month.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We have some really cool guests that I think will be good.
Yeah, help with strategies.
Yeah, because I think when people talk about the most important relationships, obviously people know that Jesus is the most important relationship in our lives. But I think that your life partner and the person, we call them like your forever roommate, like is right there, like it's right next. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's fun to kind of dive in and talk about strategies, and hopefully we can help. Or
okay, here's not. What I was thinking too. So I was thinking about like creed to conduct. So creed meaning like we walk down, or I walk down the aisle, you were waiting on me, and we say these vows and we make these promises and we declare this creed, like till death do us part. And then how sometimes we've seen, unfortunately, that by God's grace, not in our marriage, but unfortunately we've seen this many times where the conduct doesn't match the promise that we made on our wedding days. And so let's talk a little bit about that, about how we declare all these promises in front of the people that attend our weddings, and ideally a promise to the Lord that we're going to honor, but yet our actions and our words don't line up. And why do you think that is?
Well, I was even thinking about it earlier when we were talking, and I was thinking about how many people say their vows, and like even kind of, I guess some people write their own vows, and that's probably the way to go, just so you remember them. But I think there's, how many people actually think about their vows after their wedding day? Like they actually think about living those out, like you talk about, like in their conduct and like what they actually are just did in front of God, and the creed that they just promised in front of God. How many people actually, I think about them moving forward and how that affects their marriage and the conduct and how you treat your spouse and all the oaths that you made that day. If you actually do those things, you live a pretty harmonious life with your wife or husband. And I think that, like you said, some people seem to just say that creed and then it doesn't match up with how they go about their marriage. Or, you know, just, I don't know. I guess people just can look at marriage differently that, and we've talked about this before, where, you know, they kind of get into it with the old parachute of, well, if we hit a rough spot, we'll just find someone else. And I think that God has called us such a much higher relationship and such deeper meaning in marriage than just kind of that surfacey honeymoon stage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I know as young Matt and Leslie, that's not the kind of stuff that we thought about. So when I look back on, when I see, you know, we have a picture right over there of us in 2000, of when we were very first together and very first married, and it's behind the, well, you can't see it.
I can't see
it. Yeah, you can't see it. It's behind the picture.
I was trying to get with you.
Yeah, it's behind the picture of Jackson. And so anyway, but you look back at that picture, and I look at these two young people that we really just didn't know what we were doing. And it was a leap of faith in the biggest sense, especially looking back at things retrospectively. And I just, when I see that picture, it just reminds me of God's mercy and God's grace that you just showered over a young Matt and Leslie. And so I don't want to be too hard on people that are really young in their marriage, that they haven't quite figured out how to, their actions and their words to start to collide, and how their creed and their conduct really need to match up. If they're married, like, let's get on it. Let's start moving in that direction. But even if you're like, we're doing premarital counseling with this sweetest young couple right now. And just, I so desire for them to learn how important this stuff is that when we say these vows, like, man, we have to start to apply some action behind the words that we speak. It just can't be lip service. And I think that I'm so grateful that the Lord placed so many, well, first of all, we both have parents that were, you know, but more that's caught than taught, right? And so we both saw as young kids what it looked like to be a part of a family that the mom and dad were both very committed to one another. So we're very blessed in that. And my grandparents, your grandparents, like, we have a long line of people that had gone before us that gave us an amazing example of what marriage looked like. But I just think that young Matt and Les would have never, we just didn't know how to apply the kind of things that we're talking about today. So what would you say, like, just to ask you a question, like, pretend I'm interviewing you, what would you say to a younger couple that's just starting out and they're saying, man, I want my actions and my words to line up? What would you say to them? How would you tell them to do it?
I would say you would find older couples. I mean, we've had, and we've talked to, you know, we've even had some of them on, but I would say finding older couples that have the experience and wisdom, and we've had a long list of them that have come through our life that God has placed in our path that thankfully we've been wise enough to snuggle up next to and to be to see a good example, to talk to a good example, to have wisdom passed down on pros and cons. And I think we're talking about helping the couple that we're talking to about marriage now is that you want to help them skip some of the pitfalls or some of the things. You just want to kind of expedite some of the stuff that you, as young, kind of selfish, immature, young married people, to where all you've ever kind of worried about is kind of yourself, and then all of a sudden now you're living with someone else who, as a husband, as the head of the home, I'm responsible to be your husband and to help you and you to help me. I think that just finding couples, older couples at the church or pastor, or, you know, we've had great marriage counseling from, I remember Russ McKendry did a series on marriage back in Denver almost 20 years ago, probably 15 to 20 years ago. And I remember a lot of the things that he said 15 to 20 years ago are still impacting our marriage today. So I just think that finding a good church and finding, we could even offer some, I think, resources of some books and some things on marriage that are just helpful and, you know, just ideas and maybe some thinking about different strategies differently, and communication and how to communicate and figuring out the love language of your partner, and some of those things that, that just help, I think, a marriage thrive. And I think that that's, you know, I think that that's something I would say is that finding people that, that can help you and kind of counsel or you know, pastors or books, you know, there's lots of good stuff out there that, to use those resources. Yeah. And even the Bible. I mean, I'm just, there's plenty about marriage in the Bible, I think, you know, but people have taken the Bible and some of these pastors we're talking about have done a great job of expounding on marriage.
Yeah, I agree. One of my favorite passages of scripture, not passages, I guess it's just a couple verses, is in Genesis 2, 24 through 25. And it says, therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father, his... That's totally what it says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so that was just one of the verses. But it talks about, I think that right there is something that really trips up a lot of people. And I know for us, because we got married really young, and like we talked about, we both had really great families. And so I think that the therefore a man shall leave his father and mother can be tricky for a lot of couples. And I know that we've had the opportunity to sit down and visit with lots of young couples over the years. And that was a transition that sometimes took years to learn how to become a team with your spouse and not, you know, like I remember when we were very first married, if I got upset with you, which of course was rare, I would call my mom and I would call my mom and I would say, I don't know what to do. And Matt did this and this and this, and he travels all the time. Yeah. That many, unfortunately, when we were really young, right? Yeah, right. It was kind of rocky at first. And you were gone a lot and it was hard. And I just remember calling her because I didn't understand this part, right? I was never taught what scripture says that, you know, I should leave Janice and I should hold fast to you, and that I should become a team with you versus like my number one person to run to was my mom. And, you know, in all fairness to my mom, let me tell you this, for all those moms out there that have daughters that are newly married, she has, in 20 years of marriage, she's never said a bad word about you. Huh. I mean, that's great. You know, I mean,
that means your mom's great and I'm pretty good too.
I mean, not that I ever, but she's always like pushed me towards unity in marriage. Well, pushed me towards like, what does Jesus say about marriage? Like pushed me towards like, everything's going to be okay. And I think that that's really important, right? And so...
Well, it's like we call each other like Team Holiday.
Yeah.
Like, we have a team. And yeah. Our team has grown. I mean, we have 6 in the team now.
Yes.
But originally, you know, I think it is important when you talk about sports, which a lot of listeners and us, when you talk about a team, like we've got to be the team, our new team. And I think that sometimes, like you talked about, when you've been a part of another team, which is your original, you know, family or your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters, and now a new team, that sometimes that can be rocky. But I think the faster that, it's not to say that you can't still be part of the old team, but you've got to form a new team. And I think sometimes that's tricky for everyone involved. And I know that'll be tricky for us when our kids get married. I mean, it's just a big transition that I think can be difficult on everyone. And I don't know that there's, you know, but I think like you talked about, like becoming a new team allowed us to work through things faster, easier, better than, like you said, like kind of going to your mom or going to somebody else and trying to figure it out instead of confronting the issue head on.
Yeah, with your partner.
Yeah.
With who you're married to. You're right. And then verse 25 says, and you'll probably really like this one, it says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
Yeah, I do like that one.
Yeah, that's how you would like to handle most conflicts in marriage.
I mean, I think that's a good place to start.
Well, listen, but what I love about those verses is it talks about like leaving your mother and father, holding fast to your spouse, becoming one, and being so incredibly vulnerable with one another, and being able to be fully exposed in the sense that it's more of a heart-to-heart thing then, I mean, I don't think you can concentrate right
well,
now.
Well, I was going to say, for all you women out there, like, if you want to resolve conflict...
just be naked and unashamed. Honestly,
it'll end pretty quick. Like, stop. On the man's side, like... no. If you get to a conflict that you can't figure out, that's a good strategy.
Oh, my word. But you know what I'm saying. Like, being able to create... to create an environment in your home to where vulnerability exists and being able to be each other's best friend and being able to communicate with one another in a way that you don't communicate with your girlfriend or you don't communicate with your best guy friend and having like starting to build towards that. And it isn't an overnight thing. It's not these couple things that we've talked about. They don't happen the minute you say your vows. Like that's the goal. Like let's move towards that space where we become a team and we become we build this relationship to where there's vulnerability and there's honesty and that we can look at each other and we can be purely for one another.
Yeah, I think you start to live a life that's less selfish, like we've talked about. Like, you know, you start to notice things that you're doing that might be selfish, like, and you start to look out for the other person and try to notice things that when they're getting stressed and you try to pick up the slack a little bit. And I don't know. I just think that there, as you get older, when you go into marriage, typically, you know, you're coming from just a place where you don't notice. I mean, you're just kind of like your own deal. And now you're trying to figure out how to be married. And sometimes you don't, it's just all about like, what do I want to do? Or what do I, you know, what's best for me. And then, I think our marriage really started to thrive when you start living a life where you try to pay attention to what the other person is needing or going through. And then you're going to go through trials and there's going to be hard things, and it really should strengthen you. You know, I think we've gone through a lot of difficult times that we've had a chance to be there for each other. And I think that's ultimately strengthens the bond to where it's, you know, it's so strong that if you can make it through, you know, the hard times, then, you know, there's that bond that you can only get through trials.
Oh, I agree totally. And I think the great thing about a Christian marriage or a marriage that is built on the principles of Scripture is we get to represent, like, we get a chance to participate in the way that God participates with us, and we can forgive because we've been forgiven. Like, let's talk about that for a second. Like, how important is forgiveness in a marriage?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably the most important thing, because if you build up this resentment and this, look, I'm going to screw up and you're going to screw up. And the quicker you say, look, I screwed up, I'm sorry. And the quicker I'm willing to say, or you're willing to say, yeah, I get it. Like, I know you screwed up. And you can honestly forgive someone and say, okay, let's move past this, move on. Like, let's, and then the relief that you give the other person of, oh, wow, she really forgives me. And we can, you know, that level of that uneasiness is gone of I've offended and I'm sorry. And she forgives me. And I just think that's when you live with someone and they're your person and they're the person you spend the most time with, it's really hard when there's that kind of uneasiness of offense and one that's having a hard time forgiving that and you haven't talked it through and you haven't got to the other side of it. That's my least favorite feeling in a marriage and in life, really, because that's your, like we talked about, on this side of heaven, like, that's your person. And I just think that forgiveness and being able to accept somebody's apology and let it go, like we talked about earlier, to be able to just let it, literally let it go and not keep kind of chewing on it to where you're still acting like, you know, we know each other. Like, I know when something's bothering you. And until you let it go and give it to me or tell me about it, like, it's, I know. And you can say, no, there's nothing wrong, or there's, yo, no, everything's fine. Like, when you live with someone for a long time, like, you know that, hey, there's an underlying irritation or problem here. And I think that that's something that it's not easy, but that part of forgiveness, I think, is the most, if not one of the most important parts of marriage.
Absolutely. And just gentleness and kindness, and how God is so gentle with us and so kind and patient and long-suffering, and all the attributes that the Lord has. When marriages are healthy, we can apply those things in our most precious relationships. And I think about the restoration that we have because of Jesus, and the reconciliation that we have because of Jesus, and the sacrificial living, right? And so Jesus sacrificed everything for us so we could have eternal life and be with him forever. Let's talk a little bit about, like, just practical sacrificial living for your spouse, because I think that really goes a long way to digging some deep roots in your relationship. When you know the person you're married to is willing to sacrifice for the greater good of, right now, the family that we have, and to being able to, like, for me, like, I think in your job for so many years, I considered it a joy to sacrifice for you, and we can laugh about it all we want, but traveling with all those kids, it's hard. I mean, even though I was traveling, you know, and staying in really nice hotels and getting to travel and see cities and do all of those things, it was hard to sacrifice. I mean, our kids are wild when they were little, and, you know, but I wanted to do that because there was a greater gain for our marriage, to keep us together and to be able to keep the fellowship. Like you said, like, there wasn't an uneasiness, there wasn't a tension, there wasn't an opportunity for a lot of resentment or bitterness to be built because I was going to be with you. And I think that, I mean, man, Jesus is the same way. Like, he sacrificed for us so we could be with him, and there was a withness and, like, this fellowship, and that's what I think God taught me most about our marriage, is that I learned how to sacrifice for the greater good of our family and for our marriage. And obviously you've done the same thing numerous times, but what kind of practical sacrificial living advice would you give someone in their marriage?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I talked about it a little bit, of just, like, I think that as husbands, sometimes we think, I don't think you truly know, like, the kind of all the ins and outs and the difficulties of parenting and keeping a house clean and making dinner and having, there's a lot more that goes into trying to be, I guess, just basically running the family. Like, especially if you have a job where you work a lot and you're gone a lot, and, like, you did sacrifice a lot. And I think that noticing little things to where you can help, or, you know, giving you some time to do something that you want to do, or taking the trash out, like, figuring out things that I can do to try to lighten your load. And I think that as husbands, if you can look for little things, whether it's washing dishes or, you know, just looking for things to kind of lighten your load a little bit, I think is some practical, I guess, just keep your eyes open and not be so, can't wait to get in front of the TV on the couch and change the channel. I guess is something that's practical, I think, for me. Would try to get to know your spouse, like, try to get to know them, to know that, hey, before there's a breakdown, like, let's try to head it off with, hey, go ahead, go, I've got the kids, or, you know, I'll clean the house, or, you know, just trying to figure out ways to, because it's hard. I mean, like, sometimes I know you get burdened with a lot, you got a lot going on, and especially now you're doing school and you got a lot of stuff going on that, I want to try to find those things to help lighten the load. And I think wives can do a better job of saying, hey, can you help me do this? And don't wait until you're irritated, and just say, yeah, hey, can you, I know you're watching the game, but can you help me, you know, make the kids lunches and give the kid a bath and go take the trash out? Like, I think there's a way to that you can just ask. And a lot of times I think guys are willing to do that. But then it, like, gets to the point where you don't ask, and then you we don't do it. And then there's, like, this rift. And then the communication got messed up. And I would have done it. I just didn't think about it. And so I think those are some practical ways that I think we've gotten better at.
Yeah, I mean, there for about 10 years, I thought for sure you could read my mind.
Yeah, it's like we talked about. And then I learned,
like, oh, gosh, you can't, dang it.
Yeah, so, I wish I could.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that would be a cool... I don't know if I'd want to know what people think.
I don't think so either.
I'd pick another superhero.
Like flying?
Yeah, anything. I don't know if that would be my top of my list, but... My point is like, wives, hey, you can say anything you want if you say it the right way.
Yeah, that's true.
You can say whatever you want if you say it in a kind-hearted manner, anything. But guys get offensive when you come at them on an attack.
And when you use never and always, like you never do this or you always do this. Because that isn't true. Yeah. It's never true.
It's always not true.
It's always never true. And so, but really, you're so right. That is such good advice. It's our tone, it's everything. And the way that
we... You can literally, like, as me, if you ask me something nicely, I'll do anything.
Especially if I didn't have any clothes on.
Well, again, ladies, that goes back to whatever you need done. God said in the garden, they were naked and unashamed. Like, that was...
Oh, it's a gracious. Good way
to start to solve things.
All right, let's talk about patience real quick, because God's patient with us, and he's patient with our... I mean, that's a fruit of the Spirit, right? And let's talk about patience and just what it's so beautiful for patience to be a part of a marriage, because we're all growing at different paces in our relationship with the Lord. We're all maturing. You know, there's going to be some areas of our life that we mature really fast in, and then there's going to be some areas in our life where... We're just like, just slowly but surely, like tortoise in the hare kind of stuff. And so it's just, talk to me a little bit about patience and some of the things, maybe you can even do this. Like, what things have you had to be patient with me on?
You know, I just think patience, like, I know for me, like when I get tired or stressed or overwhelmed, like my patience is out the window. And I think that, like, just trying to keep yourself in a place where, I don't know, patience sometimes is hard. Like, we want things now in a day and age where everything is at the touch of your fingers, and if you want something, you just get it. Like, I think patience is something that people have a hard time with now, because we're in a day and age where you don't have to have patience for a lot of things. And so I'm grateful that you've had patience with me on little things and, you know, some big things. And I just think patience is something like we talked about, like to be able to be kind and to understand and to listen, and patience is right in there with your spouse when you live together and they see all your warts, like, and that you takes patience, like, and everything that you see of my warts, I already know. And mm-hmm. to have patience to not, I guess, exploit that. Or I guess, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But basically, to me, like the patience that you have with your spouse, because you are pretty much metaphorically naked and under, I mean, you live together, like they know everything about you. And, you know, you have to have patience. We're human, we're flawed. And without patience, it can be very, like, a very volatile relationship.
Yeah, and without, like, rooting for your spouse, like, and just cheering them on for who they're going to become. I think that that's a really cool thing in marriage, and something that when both of us started to mature in our relationship with the Lord, we were able to be patient with one another, because we knew, like, I didn't have to be your Holy Spirit, and you didn't have to be my Holy Spirit. Like, rooting for who you were becoming as a man and who I was becoming as a woman. Like, you've done that really well. And I know that something that I've struggled with is just, like, I have a short fuse. And if I get worn out and tired, and that happened a lot when I was when I had little little ones, because we had so many, and then we had the dogs, and then we were moving a lot, and I would just get exhausted, and I would just work myself to just exhaustion. And I didn't have the wisdom as a young mom to say, hey, Matt, I need a break, or I need a minute, I need to go on a run. I just would push myself to the limit of, I just had the really short fuse. And I just always appreciated how patient you were with me. And I'm sure you prayed about it a lot too. Like, Lord, please shake this out. Like, she's driving me crazy. But I just appreciated that, that you trusted who I was becoming, because I was working on my personal relationship with Jesus. And I always saw you working on your personal relationship with Jesus. So I trusted the man that you were becoming. And I think one of the things I've noticed when marriage isn't going very healthy for us or in our within our friend's life is that there's too much of trying to be the Holy Spirit. And I just think that that's unhealthy, right? And so, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference. There needs to be a difference between, like, this is an important relationship, but it's not the ultimate relationship.
Yeah.
And that when you put, you place too much pressure on your spouse to provide, I guess, things that I'm not capable of providing and you're not capable of providing, then it's like it, I don't know, you try to put something, it's like we talk about, like, you have this hole that only God can fill in our hearts. And when you try to fill it with the spouse, well, it doesn't matter, and your spouse included, when you try to fill it with that, then that's too much. Like, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve yeah. for me to try to put you there. And you shouldn't have to. And I think that causes, it's like we talk about, like, when that doesn't work, when you don't fill my hole, or friends don't fill your cup, they quit. Or they move on and think somebody else will.
Yeah.
And I think God has warned us about that. Like, you know, don't just punt because, you know, I couldn't be everything you thought I should be. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, like, this isn't romantic or anything, but like, marriages aren't designed to make you happy. Like, a Christian marriage is designed for you to be able to, for me to be able to trust you enough to where you help me in my sanctification process, becoming more like Jesus. And to me, that's been a beautiful thing as to where we are right now, is that there's no person that carries more weight in my world than you do. And when you say things to me, it really matters. And if you have something constructive to say to me, like, it matters. And I listen and I say, you know what, you're right, I need to spend a little time on that. Or if you compliment me, there's nothing that means more to me than when you compliment me. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. And when I look at that picture of young Matt and Leslie, that's what I'm most proud of, is that because of God's grace and because of God's mercy, we've become a couple over the last 20 years that I'm 100% your biggest cheerleader, and I need you in my life to help me in becoming more like Christ, because I trust that you would never say anything to me that wasn't for my ultimate good, you know. And so that's a beautiful thing. Healthy things grow, you know. And so, and let me ask you about that. So, healthy things grow is my new favorite phrase.
Yeah,
I say it a lot.
Six times today.
Did I say it six times today? I'm surprised I only said it six times, because this is my favorite thing to say, because it's so true. Like, healthy things grow. And so what would you say makes a healthy marriage?
You think my back hair is healthy?
Oh my gosh. I hope he edits that. So anyway, how does that happen, by the way, you don't grow hair on your head and then
it's a bad,
you're so healthy on your back.
Yeah. Healthy things grow. My back hair is healthy.
It's so healthy.
Until you shave it.
Okay, maybe Cole will delete that.
Okay, go ahead.
So, healthy things grow, Matt. So, what would you say makes a healthy marriage? What would you plant in a flower bed?
Well,
a healthy flower bed, marriage bed.
I mean, obviously,
Jesus has got to be at the center of it. That's the beginning of a healthy marriage. I think communication. I think having fun together and doing things that are fun, laughing together, having friends together and doing things that are, I don't know. I just think that having, that's kind of what comes to mind. What about you?
Yeah, I think those are all really good. That's what I would say too. Jesus, absolutely. Like studying the Word of God together and praying together, which we could do a little bit more of. Like we don't pray together as much as I would like to. We need to work on that. I think because I love to hear you pray. It's one of my very favorite things. I've shared that before on the podcast. You're such a, I just love it. I think studying the Word of God together and like having conversations that point to Jesus, sharing good meals together, and laughing around the table, and now that we're parents, like no one in the whole world loves Jackson and Ethan and Grayson and Reed like you and I do together, and remembering things together and those memories and having fun. I wish that I was a better athlete. I've noticed that a lot of the people that we talk to on the podcast, they married women that were really athletic. So I'm so sad that we can't do athletic things together. You beat me. Like tennis I had for a while, and then you paid attention, I guess, maybe,
you know,
and you got me in that. So I can't do anything athletic with you together.
You shouldn't criticize yourself too harshly.
I don't know.
You're a pretty good athlete.
Well, but not the caliber. So my point is like, I can't do that with you. But I can do other things, like, you know. And I think having fun together is really important. And maybe, I don't know, enjoying, like I said, a good meal and good fellowship with your friends and a good movie and just being with one another, I think is such a blessing. And that's why I love to say healthy things grow, because they do. And it develops these roots and these memories in this, when you think of your person, you have great thoughts and you just want to be with them more and more. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, and that's what I mean. I honestly, we talk about this, joke around a little bit, but like, honestly, when I get home every day, I can't wait to see you. Like that's like, and I don't know that you ever think that 22 years, like it'd be like, you're that excited about seeing somebody that you come home to. And it's pretty, pretty cool.
It is cool. Yeah, but Duke beats me to the door, so
well,
the big guy. He'll knock me over and everything.
He's laying on my feet. Man's best friend.
Man's best friend. All right, this was fun. I'm so excited about the remainder of the month.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. Hopefully those people call us back.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.